Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month. This monthly cassette tape series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy & Associates' vision of helping the service contractor come to a place of maturity and profitability. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. Like it or not, we all have to sell. The question is not whether we sell or not. The question is whether we do a good job. This month is a real treat. Tom Piscatelli is one of the top sales trainers in the country. He has his own company and presents single-day and week-long sales training to contractors across the country. We'd have all been exposed to all kinds of high-pressure selling, but Tom has found a unique system that works nearly all the time. He simply sells himself, his company, and finds out what the customer really wants to buy. Guess what? When you give the customer what they want, not what you want them to buy, your closing rate will go up dramatically. You're going to love this presentation.
By the time you have finished listening to this tape, you will be able to increase your sales, increase your profit percentage, improve your close rate, while at the same time you are developing an improved relationship with your customer, developing a customer for life. Let's get started. Okay, so that we begin on the same page, let me ask you a few questions. Go ahead, answer them out loud. Have you ever driven up to a prospective customer's door and found a waiting line of competitors? Sure you have. How does that make you feel? Well, your answer certainly didn't include making you feel valued. What is it about the customer's perceptions about you as a contractor salesperson that tells them this is the right thing to do? I'll bet your answers included something like, well, they think we're all the same, and perhaps they believe they can't trust you. Now let's take a look at what's happening when you're sitting at the kitchen table. Have you ever had a homeowner spread out 3, 4, 5, even 6 competitive bids on the table, and then tell you that you have to beat the lowest one? Again, what is it about the customer's perceptions that tells them this is the right thing to do? Right, again, they figure you're all the same, and there's a lack of trust. How does that make you feel? Again, not valued. Well, there are fundamental, understandable reasons why your homeowner customers behave this way. Heck, I'll bet that as a consumer, you have acted this way. I know I have. There is a simple, honest way to address these homeowners' concerns. It's called giving them what they want. Now, as you listen to this tape, you're going to hear certain words and phrases that make sense to you. If you're driving, just listen. If you're sitting down, write them down. These little nuggets will help you when you communicate with the customers about these concepts in the future. Now, let's talk about this for a moment. A generation or so ago, most people did business with local vendors. There was a local pharmacy, a local supermarket, a local dry cleaners. And we got to know people when we did business with them. In a sense, we had a relationship with these people. Think about that for a moment. Now think about a business you repeatedly go to today. If you're from Seattle like I am, it could be a local Starbucks, or it could be a grocery store or a hardware store or an automotive repair shop. Now how do you feel when you go there? Right, I'll bet you feel good. I'll bet you feel recognized, appreciated, feel like you're going to get your problem solved. What do people there do to make you feel that way? I'll bet they look you in the eye, smile at you when you come into the store, call you by name, ask you some questions about yourself and your family. When people do that to you, do you feel it's genuine, real, and sincere? I'll bet you said yes. Would you say you trust them? I'll bet you said yes. Would you say you get value from the purchase? Again, I'll bet you said yes. How do you know you get value? You know you get value because you go back. Would you say you have a relationship with the company or the people? Probably both. If I ask you which one you have a better relationship with, I'd say you'd say the people. Now, let's take this from another point of view. Put yourself in your customer's place. You're considering making a major purchase, one of the biggest in your life, one that will affect you and your family. Now you're about to have a stranger come into your home and sell you something you know very little about. How might you, as a customer, feel about someone coming into your home to sell you something? What sort of feelings would you anticipate? Maybe a little nervous? Perhaps apprehensive? Defensive? Cautious? All these terms suggest our guard is up. Now, what do you want to see, first impression, when you open the door? Someone clean-cut? Neat appearance? A smile on their face? You wanted them to be on time. And when the salesperson comes into your home, how do you want to begin? Are you the type of person who wants to take charge, or are you the type of person who wants the salesperson to take charge? As I've done these seminars, I found that half of us expect the salesperson to begin, and the other half want to take charge themselves. So as a professional salesperson, we have to be prepared to go both ways. What qualities would you like to find out about this person as you get to know them a little bit? Well, I remember the Boy Scout oath. Trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent, kind of sum it up. We'd like to find out all those things about that person. What qualities would you not like? Well, we'll probably put our thumb on that one pretty quickly. We wouldn't like somebody who's talking all the time. We probably wouldn't like somebody who seems arrogant, or unkempt, or not a good listener, or pushy, or somebody who's not really there to help us. How many of you would expect a salesperson to ask you to purchase the products or services they came to your home to talk with you about? I'll bet most of you say yes. Now think of yourself as a salesperson for a moment, and how many of you ask for the order all the time? We'll talk about that in a little bit. How many of you would expect the salesperson to talk equally between you and your spouse? I think most of us today would say the answer is they'd better. And if the salesperson doesn't, if the salesperson just talks with the man of the house, how do you think that's making the spouse feel? Right, she's feeling out of it and alienated. Do you know who makes most buying decisions in this country today? If you said men, you were wrong. Women make about 50% of all purchase decisions in the United States, and I'm not talking about things at the supermarket. I'm talking about cars and clothes and vacations and big ticket items. Her check, her cash, her signature, her credit card, she says yes. And she influences another 35%. And men, I know what you know when I say influence, what that means. So that between what she directly purchases and what she influences, women are responsible for 85% of all purchasing decisions. We had better make sure we speak with her equally and with respect. How many of you would want to make a yes decision now? Salesperson's in your home. You'd want to make a yes decision if all your questions have been answered correctly, you felt good about the salesperson, you're the type of person you would want to say yes right then. Versus how many of you would want to think about it, even if you knew you wanted it, would want to think about it overnight? Well, again, in my seminars, my experience is that about 50% of us who are ready to buy want to do it right now. And another 50% are going to think about it overnight. So when we ask a customer to purchase a product, even if everyone wants to purchase, we have to understand that half of the people who are saying they want to think about it really just want to think about it. Now let's get down to a real situation with your customers. Recall some recent conversations with customers that you've had, could be face-to-face or on the telephone. Think of some of the things they've said to you, some of the questions they've had. I'll suggest a few. I'm certain your customers have said to you, "What is the cost? Give me a ballpark figure." Some have said, "How long will it last?" Many have said, "Will I really be saving money on this energy-saving product?" In some cases, they'll be asking questions like, "Will this really help with my son's allergies?" Now, these are the questions the customers are going to ask, but what we want to do is get underneath the question and find out what the true need the customer has really is. For instance, when the customer says, "What is the cost?" are they asking you just to give them a number? They're looking for a number, but what really are they looking for? Well, it's one of two things. When they find out about the cost, they want to equate the dollar amount with the value that they perceive they're going to get. So it's a question of value in half of the cases. Am I getting a good value for the money I'm investing? And for some people, it's a question of affordability. They may have decided they want the product, they want the benefits, there is plenty of value, but they don't know if they can afford it. We'd all love to have a Lexus to drive. Hopefully many of you do. But not all of us can afford one. Another question, how long will it last? Well, we might say it's going to last 20 years and think that that answers the question. But what really is it that the customer is asking for? What they're asking for is information that will help them feel good about this investment, that it'll last a long time, that it'll be worry-free. In today's marketing terms, there's a phrase for that. It's called peace of mind. In fact, now that I bring it up to you, I'll bet you will see peace of mind every day, as long as you live, somewhere. See it on television, hear it on the radio, read it in the newspaper, magazine. It's everywhere. In fact, if you look around, automotive manufacturers have really picked up on this. The brand new Buick LeSabre is dubbed as the peace of mind car. And what features do they have in there? Features that protect the family, protect the driver. In fact, peace of mind is the single biggest driver in all marketing in the United States today. Do your products and services have the capability of delivering peace of mind? I know they do. Now, if the customer says, well, I really save money, what are they looking for? They're looking for bottom line savings. They have to know it's real. So you have to be able to demonstrate to them that these savings are legitimate, with independent studies, with an analysis, something that will give them confidence in what you're saying. So what they're looking for is a bottom line, something that they can save out of their pocket. And when they say, will it help with my son's allergies, what are they looking for? They're looking for improved health. That's the gut interest that they have. In fact, people will do more for their family's health than they will for themselves. I know if I go to the store for myself, if I'm ill and I need a decongestant, I'll buy the store brand. If I go to the store and my little girl's ill and she needs a decongestant, I'll buy the best that there is. We'll do things for our family we won't do for ourselves. So fundamentally, what people are looking for is value, affordability, peace of mind, saving money, and improving health. Now let's talk about how we're going to deliver those benefits to people. Your products and services are loaded with benefits. Now think about what you have to offer. Are there ways that you can increase comfort with the products and services you have? I know in the heating and air conditioning industry, we can save comfort by making a more even temperature throughout the house. We can do that with a modern, accurate thermostat or improving the airflow with a special high-technology furnace. Or sealing the ductwork to keep out cold air or hot air leaks? Are there ways that your products and services can cut energy costs? Of course, as you tighten the home, seal it, make the products that you sell more efficient, even proper maintenance can all save energy costs. Are there ways to provide a cleaner and healthier home or office? Certainly, you can filter air, you can clean the water. Are there ways to improve safety in the home? I think it's fair to say that a modern product today, no matter what you sell, has more safety built into it than it did 10, 15, or 20 years ago. Look at automobiles as an example and airbags as an example. Would you say that products are more reliable today than they were 20 years ago? Without a doubt. Would you say that you can correct problems that have existed since the home was built? What's a pretty good rule of thumb that most new construction builders put products into the homes that they expect to last a long time, but certainly they can't last forever, and those eventually have to be replaced. That's where the lion's share of many of your businesses are. And so, yes, we can correct problems that people have lived with for 5, 10, even 20 years. Can you do things that will help increase property value? There's a new roof, new carpeting, new kitchen, new plumbing. New air conditioning and heating increase property value? Absolutely. And can you do things to improve the security of the family? An alarm system, a security system for the home, even an air conditioning system that can close doors and windows and allow the home to be locked at night while the family is comfortable or away on vacation will all improve security of the family. All of these are benefits that people are looking for, and all of your products and services can provide benefits in a multitude of ways. What we need to do as a professional salesperson is understand what our benefits are and be comfortable having a conversation about the benefits of what we have to offer, not the features of the products that we're trying to sell. So why are we talking about all of this? You know, you have competition. You have big competition. Big retailers like Sears and Home Depot and Lowe's and many others are getting into the contracting business. Why are they doing that? It's because they can make money. And it's because they want to connect with your customer. They know that they can establish a relationship with your customer. They'll not only sell them whatever that particular product is, but they'll increase the likelihood of selling additional products in the future. These are smart retailers, and they're looking to establish a relationship to develop a customer for life. So you have to be the same. So how are we going to get our story to the homeowner in a professional way that's going to help us compete with these big retailers? We're going to use a series of tools called no-pressure selling tools. These tools were developed by a friend and associate, Steve Howard, of the ACT Group in Phoenix. Some of you may have attended some of Steve's trainings. He has a talent at taking what seems to be complex and turning it into something honest and straightforward that'll help you present the benefits of what you have to offer to your customers. The first of our no-pressure selling tools is called the Wheel of Value. So the wheel is a clue here. Think of a large circle. And then divide it, like you might a pie, into four sections. So you put a cross in the middle of the circle. We now have four large pieces of pie in this wheel. The four sections each equate to something of value that you have to offer to your customer. In the first category, we'll label it the company category, you have some things that are potentially of value to your customer, things that you probably already talk about. What might they be? What could be of value to your customer? How about the length of time in business? What does that mean to people? Well, sure, the longer you've been in business, the more reliable and dependable you are. What else? How about the training that you've done for your employees? What does that mean to people? Sure, if they're factory trained and certified, they're special, better than the average. How about some history about the owners? Does it matter to homeowners if you've been in your particular neighborhood for 15, 20, or 30 years, or if you're second generation, or if you invest in the community? Of course, all those things have value to the customer. Now, you might think the homeowner recognizes all these things, but I can guarantee you they don't. When it's appropriate, we want to bring it up so we can get value, we can get points, we can add value to the side of the scale that's going to help them make a purchasing decision. There's much more than that about your company, and you want to talk about that with other people in your company so that you can present all of this to your customers when the time is right. Think of this as a company resume. If you were to go apply for a job, you would give a prospective employer a piece of paper that would have all the information that were potentially of value to that customer on it, all things about you that this customer could want, be interested in. A company resume does the same thing. This would list all of the items of potential value to any particular customer. Will that customer care about everything? I don't think so. But our job is to ask questions, find out what they're interested in, and use this company resume or this wheel of value to help get our story across to them. Let's take another category. We talked about the company briefly. How about the system that you sell? What's important, potentially of value, that we can bring up about the system? Well, it could be the brand of product that you use. Let's say you use the Binford brand of plumbing fixtures. Binford has more power, we all know that. And if Binford has invested a lot of money in developing their name, one that suggests value and quality to consumers, you certainly want to brag about being a Binford dealer. You might talk about the efficiency of your system, or the warranty of your system, or all the different components that go into a system. In heating and air conditioning, that might be the furnace, the air conditioner, the high-efficiency system, the electronic air cleaner, the humidifier, the thermostats, and so on. Again, you get a complete list by talking with others in your company. A third category could be the installation. What is it about the installation that the homeowner could potentially value? Do you think it matters to them that your installation crew is factory trained and certified, that they're uniformed, that they show up in properly logoed company trucks, that they show up on time, that they protect the home and wear protective boot covers when they come into it, or something as simple as not smoking on the customer's premises? Are all those things important to many people? Yes, they are. And if you don't bring them up, you're not going to get any value for them. Finally, the last category would be about you. Is it appropriate for you to let the customer know a little bit about who you are as a person? Absolutely. As we discussed earlier, people like to do business with people, particularly people they can trust. So when it's appropriate to share a little bit about yourself, your interests, your family, something you have in common with the customer that you notice as you walk through the home, all this helps build a little relationship based on trust that can help you as in your role as a salesperson. So you have these four categories in your company resume, what we call the Wheel of Value. This information should be put into a company brochure. It could be something as simple as a typed sheet on your company letterhead in bullet form that just brings out these points, or it could be as sophisticated as a nice color brochure. They all work. Now think about these items. How much of what I discussed with you would be immediately apparent to the customer? Something that's what's called on the top of their mind, top of the mind awareness. Not much. They might know your company's been around town for a while, but not how long. They might know about the Binford brand, but for the most part, nearly everything in the Wheel of Value is not apparent to the customer. It's essentially hidden. You've all seen a picture of an iceberg and have a concept of the fact that most of the iceberg is hidden. So think of this Wheel of Value and all the items that are listed in it, and think of it in a way that could apply to an iceberg. The tip of the iceberg, what's visible, would be very little. It could be your company name. It could be a particular product you put in, like a Delta faucet. It could be that they know you're open 24 hours, but not much is going to be on the tip of the iceberg. Most of what you have to offer is hidden. And again, unless we bring it up with the customer, we're never going to get any credit for it. We're never going to establish value for it. So I've talked about value quite a bit here. Why is that important? Certainly your customers are going to get around to asking you how much the product or service is. Well, if we only talk about price, then people have nothing to purchase from us except price, and it's probably going to be the low price. When we talk about value, what we're doing is adding something that helps explain price. When people perceive there's a lot of value, they're willing to invest more. Now, we've talked about what we have to offer and how we communicate it in benefit terms. The next step is to talk about how we can find out what the particular customer cares about. This next no-pressure selling tool is in the shape of an upside-down triangle. In other words, it's big at the top and small at the bottom. And what we get at the top of this upside-down triangle funnels down to the bottom. What do I mean? The first step in no-pressure selling is to discover opportunities. How can you find out what your customer cares about? Well, if you said ask them, you're right on. It's pretty simple. Ask them what they're interested in. Do most of us go into the home with a preconceived notion about what the customer should have? I think so. Do we know what the customer should have? I don't think so. We have to ask them what they want. And once we ask them a question, what's the next step? Right, we have to listen. Now, I don't mean the type of listening we do with our spouse. You know what I mean? Where you can read the paper, watch TV, and nod your head as if you're listening. I don't mean that. I mean truly listening, without any preconception about what they should have, being completely open, being willing to help them get what they're looking for. So first part is asking, second part is listening. And a third way you can discover opportunities is to observe. As you drive into a neighborhood, up to a home, walk through the home with your customer, ask them questions, you will discover things about them that can help you. They're not absolute, but they're clues. If you drive up to a home and it's in a nice neighborhood and neatly kept, everything is in order in the home, what does that tell you about the person? Of course, that things in the proper place, everything organized, are all important to them. How might you use that information? Well, you might talk about the fact that your employees, when they come to install the system, are going to show up on time. They're neatly dressed. They're factory trained and certified. Those are the types of things you'd emphasize. I know you get the idea. So once we use these three skills, ask, listening, and observing, what do we do with the information that we get? We present benefits. And we use the wheel of value or the iceberg to talk about the benefits of what we have to offer to match up with what the customer said they wanted. Now, I'm going to refer to this several times. We find out what the customer wants, and then we match the customer's needs and wants to the benefits we have to offer. We're going to use a special phrase called "you said" to do that matching. For example, if the customer says, "I'd like to save money on my energy bill," then later on we will bring up the fact that they said they wanted to save money, so what we're going to do for that is install this new energy-saving programmable thermostat. That will save you money by making your system more accurate. That saves money. It will also save you money by allowing to set your heating down at night and when you're away from work. That will save you money too. You said you wanted to save money. This is how we're going to do it. And that same process applies to our entire selling strategy. We're going to ask the customer what they want, and we're going to show them how we're going to give them what they want. Nothing more and nothing less. And once we've discovered what the customer wants, and once we've shared with them how we're going to solve those problems, what's the next step? The last step in no-pressure selling. Well, if you said ask for the order, you were right. Now, I'm shocked as a professional salesperson at how rarely other professional salespeople ask for the order. Think about it yourself. Can you say that you ask for the order 100% of the time you're with the customer? If you do, you're part of the 10% of all salespeople in all sales careers who ask for the order all the time. 90% of us don't. The 10% who do ask for the order get 90% of the sales. I know you want to be part of that group. What do you think prevents people from asking for the order? If you said fear of rejection, I believe you're right. It's we're afraid to hear no. Psychologically, what's happening when we hear no? I can only explain to you how I feel, and that is that when I hear no, even though I've just asked for the order, I hear no about myself. Is the customer saying no to me individually? Of course not. They're saying no to what the proposal was, not to me personally. So if you can do this for yourself, separate yourself as a person from the proposal. And if the customer says no, and they're certainly going to, don't take it as a personal rejection. Just take it as a no to the proposal, and now be ready for the next step. Okay, so we've gone through no-pressure selling, discovering opportunities, presenting benefits, and asking for the order. Now, how can we get to the point where we've earned the right to ask for the order with the customer? Let's get down to the practical aspect of what do you do when you're in the home? Let's set the stage. You've arrived at the home a couple minutes early, not too early, and certainly never late. You've parked out front in your nice, clean company vehicle with a company logo on it. You haven't pulled into the driveway because you haven't been invited to do that. And you walk up the sidewalk, politely knock on the door, and step back to give the customer space to allow them to open the door. When they open the door, they're greeted with your smile. They invite you to step in. You step in after wiping your feet. Hand each person a business card, shake each person's hand. Whose hand do you shake first, the man or the woman? You shake the one that's closer to you. They're just people. It's not gender related. You probably take off your shoes or you're going to put on boot covers right now. They'll ask you why. Well, you do that because it's part of your company policy to protect the customer's home. They're impressed. Now what do you do? Well, I'd like to suggest to you that you're prepared to walk through the home with the customer right at this point, instead of going and looking at equipment or products or parts of the home, that you ask the customer to join you walking through the home and that you show them that you have a written list of questions you'd like to ask. And you explain that this written list of questions will help you understand what their needs are so that you can make a proposal that matches up with exactly what they want. Again, they'll be impressed. They'll be impressed that you have questions. They'll be impressed that you're curious about their needs, and they'll be additionally impressed that you have this in writing, all the marks of a professional. So as you walk through the home, you're asking questions, they're seeing you write the answers down. As they see you write the answers down, what do you think is happening in the customer's mind? You bet. As they see you write their words down, they are realizing, maybe it's even subconsciously, but they're knowing that you are writing down what they want. Thus, when you make the proposal, the link will be established between what they said they want and what they're going to get. Okay, so now you've walked through the home, you've asked questions, you've looked around, you've looked at the equipment, you've looked at the roof, you've looked at the addition or the carpeting, whatever your product and services are. And now where do you go? Of course, we recommend the kitchen table. Much better than the living room where you're sitting 20 feet across, or the formal dining room that's rarely used. You go to the kitchen table because that's where family decisions are made. Now, when you're at the kitchen table, at this point, you've gotten information about what the customer's interested in, but you don't know exactly what's most important to them. Or in other words, you don't know what the customer's priorities are. To find out what the customer's priorities are, you want to have one more sheet to use. It's called the Benefits Most Wanted List. This would be your top 10 questions. Some of them are redundant to the questionnaire that you've used. And you show this to the customer and ask them for 3 or 4 more minutes to ask them just these 10 questions and have them respond with a relative importance to each of these questions. And tell them that the priority they put on these questions will determine what you propose. You don't want to waste their time by giving them something they don't want. You do want to make sure that they get exactly what they're looking for, and that's what this will do. So you use your Benefits Most Wanted List, asking questions and writing down their responses. Their responses will tell you what's most important to them, and you will prepare a proposal based on what the customer truly wants. Now, in this 20 minutes in the home where you've asked questions and you've listened and you've had conversation and you've built a rapport and now you come to the kitchen table and you get them to prioritize what's most important, what's really happened is that the customer has determined the system that they want. If the customer has determined the system that they want, who then has determined how much the investment will be? Right, it's the customer. Think about it this way. If a group of you and friends go out to dinner, and all of you look at the same menu, out of your group, how many of the dinners are the same? None. How many of the prices are the same at the end of the meal? None. Did somebody spend twice as much as somebody else? Probably. Was everybody happy with their meal? Yes. Who determined the content of their dinner? The customer. Who determined the price of the dinner? The customer. It's exactly what we're doing. So now you have found out what the customer wants by using the Benefits Most Wanted List, and you're going to need 15, 20, 30 minutes at the kitchen table to put your proposal together. Now, while you're at the kitchen table, you're going to need what we call a cookbook to put your proposal together. Think of the cookbook that you use in preparing some sort of meal. It's just like that for all your products and services. You have each of your products and services bundled so that the product, the installation material, the labor, permits, taxes, all of that is included into one figure. So if you're selling a furnace or an air conditioner or a roof or an addition or a plumbing fixture, you just look into your book and see the bundled amount. Why is that important? Well, certainly it saves you a lot of time. Certainly it ensures your profitability, and it does one other thing that's very important with the homeowner. It adds credibility to your pricing. Consumers do not like salespeople sitting at their kitchen table tapping on calculators. It makes them nervous, and they're not sure what the real price is. They see you hitting the addition and the multiply button all the time, wishing you just tap minus and divide once. Well, you can avoid all that with cookbook pricing. Other industries have been doing it for years. It works, it's simple, it's effective, and it's definitely the way to go. Now, you'll also need to be doing some other things, preparing some collateral material. It could include an energy savings analysis. It could be some independent studies that are appropriate for you to bring up. It will certainly be the literature that you want to show the customer about the product and services you have to offer. And you put all of these materials into a very small presentation book. This book includes your company resume information. It includes a discussion about these independent studies and the energy saving analysis. It shows your contractor's license, shows your liability insurance, and all the literature on just the products that you're going to install for this customer. You put that together, and you bring the customer back to the kitchen table with the presentation book and the proposal completed, now ready to make your presentation. As you make your presentation, you're going to keep it brief. You're going to continually link what the customer said they wanted using the magic words you said with the benefits you have to offer. For instance, if the first page of your presentation book is your company resume, you can picture that. Then you're going to turn to that page and say, "You mentioned earlier that you were interested in a contractor with a great reputation. Well, here's our company brochure, and I'd like to point out two things. One is that we've been in business since 1942, serving the local community. And second is that most of our business comes from referrals. We've grown our business based on customer satisfaction. Those two items and all the rest in our brochure are here to reassure you that you are dealing with a customer with a great reputation." So now you repeat exactly that process with each page, showing the customer what you have to offer and how what you have to offer matches up with a need that they had. You move very quickly, as I mentioned. This should take no longer than 10 minutes. And that 10 minutes will be invested by you with the customer intently listening, nodding their head, staying with you. That 10 minutes will be invested building as much value as possible before you show the customer the proposal. Now you are ready for the proposal, and so are they. So you bring your proposal out and you put it in front of the customer. I prefer the one-page proposal format. The reason for that is the customer wants to see the price at this point. You've been in the home long enough. They've listened to your story. They want to get to what we all call the bottom line. So let them see it. In every case, the amount of money that you're suggesting the customer invest is going to be more than they thought. So the way it is when we buy things, why should it be any different for them? When you ask them what they wanted, you put together a proposal based on everything that they said they wanted. You should not be ashamed or embarrassed about the amount of money. They pick the meal from the menu. They determine the price. So let's let them see it, and let's let the sticker shock happen. Now, you need a few minutes for them to recover once they see the amount. And to do this, just start at the top of the proposal, reviewing the customer's name and address to make sure it's correct, reviewing the products, quickly again matching what it is that they're going to get with each of those products, reviewing some of those hidden things, what's underneath the waterline and the iceberg that you have to do to make sure the installation is proper, that they're going to get all the benefits that they want, and finally coming down to the amount. Now, it's very important that you refer to the amount as a total investment. In all cases, what we have to offer to people is indeed an investment. They're going to get a lot of benefits back for the money they're going to invest, financial and otherwise. So let's refer to it for what it is. And also, always offer a monthly payment option. Retailers all know this. Sears built an entire business based on monthly payment financing. It's just the way people want to buy things. So along with your total investment, offer the monthly payment, and then ask them to make a choice. So here is how your closing question will sound. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, to give you everything you said you wanted here, your total investment is $78.57, or if you'd like, we could finance that for only $141 a month. Which of those would you prefer? Now, you've been in the home for an hour or an hour and a half. You've built a relationship with the customer. You've given them what they want. You can expect that they're going to choose one or the other. So let's summarize what you've learned. We started off by saying that your success will come with your customer's success. That if you have their interest at heart, if you ask them what they want and you give them what they want, you're going to build trust and that's going to produce sales. We talked about how to ask questions and how to listen. I would suggest to you that listening is one of the most critical components to the selling process. And I want to reinforce to you that you have earned the right to ask for the order when you follow this process. In being there for the customer, in helping them discover what their problems are, and proposing solutions to those problems, you have earned the right to ask them to buy. After all, you wouldn't be in the home unless they wanted the products and services you have to offer. And remember that by giving the customer what they want, you will be getting what you want. Thank you, and have a great selling day.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's tape. Feel free to give us a call with your comments, or if you prefer, you may fax or email our office. Better yet, check out Granding Associates on the World Wide Web. Our website provides a detailed schedule of coming full-day seminars. Our address is www.grandyassociates.com, and it is also printed on the tape insert. Again, our website address is www.grandyassociates.com. One last comment. If you would like a free copy of Granding Associates' newest catalog of products and services, simply give us a call at 1-800-432-7963. The Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month is produced and distributed by Granding Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.